Super Yacht Radio.
And we are live here at the USSA. It is Bruce Springsteen. It has got to be Kitty McGowan. The beautiful, the enigmatic. Kitty, good afternoon, my darling. How are you today?
Hello, hello. Greetings from the crazy USSSA. Yay.
The hot and sticky Florida.
It is a hot and sticky day here in South Florida.
Who just missed a hurricane, I heard from my sister in Daytona.
That's right.
Yes, well, we actually, the upper part of the state did get to experience some hurricane-type strength winds, I think, or at least tropical storm strength winds, and we had a number of tornadoes that went through the northern part of the state of Florida.
Oh, did you put your Dorothy shoes on?
Exactly. I'll put my Dorothy shoes back on and we'll be snapping right to the next place because we're not in Kansas anymore. We're here in South Florida. We got good stuff to talk about. Yeah, like usual, Dave and Maeve, I have a great guest. So,
well, delighted to meet our next guest from such
our next
a
victim.
Well-known and long-running media company in the yachting world of the States. The Triton.
Yeah, we got to be careful what we say here today. This is a reporter. We could be writing all this down. Hiya, Jim.
We're recording. Yes, we have one of the new owners of the Triton, which a lot of people, they say, well, what happened? So Lucy and David Reed had started that paper a very long time ago, which everybody in the yachting industry is familiar with the Triton. Mm-hmm. And not somebody new to the industry, by sure. A dear friend, I don't want to say an old friend, because then that would just tell too many stories. I'm delighted to have one of the new owners of the Triton, Jim Bronstein, with us today to talk about a lot of things boating, because he certainly has a lot of things to talk about. But most and foremost, the Triton, the newspaper, nautical news for captains and crew. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Jim Bronstein.
Welcome, Jim. And can I thank you also, because we often refer to the Triton for our weekly news roundup, and it's a great source of information. So many thanks.
Well, I'm happy to be here. First of all, you were talking about this storm, and it was named Elsa, which was the name of my mother who passed many years ago, but not many people are named Elsa, so
that's true.
I knew the storm would not do us harm because that was the name of my mother as an unusual name, and I knew it would pass us by.
Well, thank goodness for that.
A gentle breeze.
Elsa was smiling on us for a change.
And it did not. Well, you are across the pond, but it almost impacted the Stanley Cup hockey finals, which would have been horrible if the final Stanley Cup hockey game was interrupted by Elsa, but it did not interrupt that game either. So all was well.
And that Tampa Bay won the Stanley Cup. They won the Super Bowl this year and the Stanley Cup. So they're doing pretty well over there in Tampa.
Mazel
Florida
tough.
Stays in the spotlight.
Exactly. And at least it's not a shooting.
Right.
That must be why it wasn't in the papers.
Happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
It's good.
Yeah,
to
as
have you
said, too. I'm not. We're magazine is a new venture for us, but the publication we all know for many years. I think 15 or 16 years, actually.
And this is not a new venture. I mean, you've been in media before. Tell us about how you got into this.
Yeah. No. Actually, so my background is in the marine industry. Really, 35 years in the industry. For about 20 years, I had owned Rybovich. Which is a
yes, I know it.
Well-known company. Mm-hmm. And then I sold that on to the Huizenga family, gosh, I don't know, 15 years ago now. And they took it to the level that it's at today, which I think the whole world is well aware of Rybovich. But so I had that.
Which is now Safe Harbor Rybovich.
Well, it's now Safe Harbor Rybovich.
Yes.
So that was about 20 years of my world. And in that little world or big world, we certainly produced a lot of newsletters, but not in the magazine world. And then after that, really for the last, I guess we are aging ourselves, but if we give years of things that we did things for. So
it's okay. I can edit this out. Don't worry, Jim.
And I for a couple of years, I ran Broward Yacht after Rybovich. And then I've been involved really over the last 15 odd years in predominantly marinas and some boatyards. I'm a part owner of a boatyard in the Gulf Coast of Alabama, a yard called Saunders Yacht Works. We built a marina down in Costa Rica, Marina Pez Vela, which has turned into a very well-known facility now. So I was a early partner in that. And then I've got a business partner now, Kevin Cork, who used to operate Bahia Mar and Pier 66 and some of those iconic marinas. So we partnered together a few years ago and operate and manage a number of different marinas and do a lot of marina advisory work and consulting work. So we've got marina in Panama and St. Lucia and Miami and Fort Lauderdale. And we were supposed to be on a call today. It just got rescheduled at the last second with some group in Russia that's trying to build a marina that wants some help. So
retirement is going well for you then.
So we're
marinas and magazines, papers. How does this happen?
Of course.
Like, you guys just were sitting around one day and said, let's go buy a newspaper.
Natural progression.
Natural progression. Well, why not?
I think Kevin and I both are coming out of the similar, he was unavailable or he would have joined us. we're kind of similar in personality and kind of opportunistic and kind of get passionate about different things. And everybody's known the Triton. We've known it as long as everybody. We've been advertisers on the other side of the coin. And, you know, we've been around the world and each done a little bit of writing, not in any media way, but friends with Dave and Lucy. And one day, actually, I'll give Kevin the credit. He was just, I think he was talking to David or Lucy or both of them. And we knew that the Triton was, you know, it's beginning to wind down a little bit just as COVID had a lot to do with it. And David and Lucy, David had moved away to start a successful button company. Buttons, like buttons.
Buttons. Oh, well, we all use them.
So he is.
It's kind of similar. It's like you go from a magazine to buttons.
Of course.
Just like going from marinas to magazines. What the heck?
Right.
So, I'll end up
natural progressive.
I'm a zip guy myself.
You know, the world's a flexible place. So anyways, they were, you know, due to COVID and some personal just, you know,
ready
life
for
changes.
That everybody goes through.
Well, I think COVID did that.
And they were very, they weren't just going to let Triton go to anybody, as we've now learned. They were really either just going to let it kind of sunset, or if they found the right people that they kind of believed in and believed in them, then they would.
It's kind of handing over your baby to somebody, isn't it? It's, you don't just give it to anybody.
Right. Right or wrong, they believe that Kevin and I were the right people to take care of their baby. And so they've sort of handed
us. That's a little frightening.
You have that fatherly look.
It's very frightening. Yeah. I only changed like one diaper and I have three daughters. So anyways, Dave and Lucy were willing to and wanting to entrust us with taking their baby over. And so we consummated a deal actually as sort of technically as of yesterday, officially. So
you hear it here first.
Yeah. While the word spreads rapidly about things, we haven't sort of officially told anybody we acquired the Triton, but now we can. So there you go.
We're a global industry.
Yes, but now it's like you got the scoop right here on Super Yacht Radio.
Heard it here first.
So we're really excited. I mean, we really are. We did a little soul searching, or maybe a lot of soul searching, because we have a lot of other things going on. But this is something we really believe in. We believe it's a good business. I'd be very honest. We hope that it is a successful and profitable venture. Some people have said, well, you're just doing this because you just want to carry on a legacy. And I'm like, well, I mean, that's nice, but you know, it is a business. And Dave and Lucy get a ton of credit. I mean, they put that on the map for 16 years, and Triton, a lot of the essence of what Triton was all about, we certainly are going to continue on with. It's a source of news. It's a go-to place for captains, crews, and people in the industry connected with the captains and crews. They have a lot of networking events, expo, great exposure at some of the boat shows. So a lot of the essence is definitely there. We are building our team and have a big portion of it built up. But we're going to make some changes, you know, some fun things. We want it to be fun and enjoyable and informative, and we'll have a few format changes. Physically, we're going to change a little bit. We're initially come out with 6 issues a year because we want to crawl before we walk. We don't want to get too far ahead of our skis, and we want to do it right and do it well and do it fun. So we'll have a little freshened up logo, and we just kind of want to freshen everything up a bit. And
a facelift on it.
Yeah. And it needs it. And frankly, and Dave and Lucy are the first to support that. It needs a little facelift. It just, after 16 years, they put all their heart and soul in it, and just needs a little bit of a facelift. So
we're don't we all continue. After a while, duct tape and low lighting doesn't work anymore. So,
yourself, darling.
Actually, we keep saying Triton has gone in for a refit. So,
I like it.
We are in for a refit, and we should be out of the yard right before the Lauderdale Boat Show.
Wonderful. Well, can I ask, because the Triton, you have 6 publications on paper, but there's also the online version that, is kind of, I presume, more globally widely available. And with that, you have the forums and everything else. So I presume there's probably been, like everyone, changes in the digital side. We were actually having this conversation yesterday about, how media has needed to change all around the world, but being able to, people still, I still love getting the Sunday paper. I would never think to read the Sunday paper online because the
you
joy
can't get
of
the computer out of the back garden.
No, but I still have the joy of picking up a paper and reading through the editorials, and it's a different experience to reading online too. So I presume in the refit, you would have both the digital and the tangible version kind of
very
doing
much.
A refit.
Yeah. No, and that's a big part of it. And really upgrading our whole sort of digital platform and the way that that's presented. And so exactly as you say, so the whole argument print is dead. I don't know. Maybe because we're naively not been in the industry, we don't believe it is dead. So, and for this publication, which is something for captains and crews and in every cruise quarters on a yacht, there's a hard magazine sitting there when you're out there and DockWalk certainly is another great publication, but Triton's going to be sitting in every cruise quarters and always has been, right? But in between issues, digital is extremely relevant, and the world
and
is
on a daily basis, because news travels so quickly,
right?
And so, things happen so fast. If you had to wait 2 months to be able to get that kind of news, that wouldn't be relevant then. It would be history.
Right.
So being able to provide that on a timely fashion is a good thing too.
Right. So, the boat caught on fire story is out in the digital social media world, and in 48 hours it's not even a story anymore. So you're not gonna print that 6 weeks from now in the hard copy, right? And that is what it used to be, because that was the only place you could learn about something like that, right?
But it becomes a historical document.
We're very conscious of that changing world. And so we're gonna consciously update, and so the hard print will be sort of more shelf life stories. And we want to target things toward make it, easy and fun, and make sure certain stories are going to be good for a seasoned captain and crew. Others will be for sort of beginner captains and crews. So you'll have the kind of the one epaulette story or the 4 epaulette story. So as somebody reads something and they've been a captain for 15 years, they're not going to be interested in a story about, how do you deal with bunkering fuel somewhere, but mm-hmm. a guy who's sort of 1 or 2 years into it, who hasn't traveled around a lot, that may be relevant to him. So we're going to try and position it so it carries to all people. We also want to carry the core is certainly, you know, yacht captains and crews, but within that world includes a lot of things that didn't exist before. The fishing captain world, fishing boats, sport fish boats are substantially larger than they were in the past. And, you know, you have 80, 90 plus foot sport fish boats with full
beautiful custom built multi-million dollar right. custom sport.
And they also have their own niche of captains and crews. And on top of that, they need to know how to fish as well. And so, you know, we want to kind of appeal not just to the white yacht, right? There's going to be some of that to the broaden our scope a little bit, broaden the readership a little bit.
Be more inclusive.
But we also want to have fun with it too, for sure. We've kind of internally, we all joke, the whole industry jokes in a way about that show.
Below Deck.
Oh yeah.
Right. So we have sort of made the commitment. We'll address it. You know, we may have, Below Deck, what happened on the TV show. And then we may go Above Deck, what really happens in that same situation. We'll have fun with that. We may have a little bit of a...
Bravo will love you.
They probably will. I don't know. Or if everybody hates it, and if they keep writing in saying, I can't believe you're writing this stuff, why do you keep writing about that show? Then that tells me they're reading our magazine, right?
Yes, it does. It's a mixed blessing. I mean, despite industry challenges with the show and whatever your challenge is with it, but it's the most popular series on the Bravo network. It is the highest distributed show on the Bravo network, and in most television stations has the highest viewership. And so right, wrong, or indifferent, it reaches a butt pile of people. So, I mean, no matter what, it is a conduit for at least getting people to talk about the yachting industry in some form or fashion, which in some regards gives us an open door to, you know, to at least say, hey, here's an opportunity for a potential career. I mean, all of us are looking for hiring new people. So, so I think it's, you know, right, wrong, or bad, you know, good or bad. I'm not going to say which side. I mean, because they're all friends of mine, so they're good people.
I mean,
can I comment on that? Actually,
it's not going to be the theme of our
They're not going to be the Triton Below Deck magazine.
Can I comment on that? Because this year on the A Crew Nomination Awards, they've had a huge amount of captains and crew nominated this year. And Captain Sandy Yon was one of five captains to be nominated for her position as captain for the Master Unlimited. And, you know, you don't get that. That's the personal nomination. That's, you know, industry people who have worked with you going, I think she's a fantastic captain.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then that, I mean, that's the real story, right? So, and, you know, we want to capture all of that.
So are you looking to increase your, I don't know the staffing in the Triton, but are you looking, bringing in more reporters, or how are you going to beef that side of it up?
So, no, it's a great question. So our team is kind of being rebuilt. So we have a lady named Susan Job, who will be the executive editor or editor in chief.
So that's where I should send my CV. Yeah.
Pardon me.
That's where I should send my CV.
Yeah, please.
Yes, thank you.
Absolutely. So Susan, we're excited to have.
Susan might have a problem with that.
Susan worked with Triton for about 3 years in a little kind of almost behind the scenes. She was doing a lot of the editing and a lot of the work, but wasn't necessarily a face out there doing. She was doing a lot of things sort of behind the scene with Lucy in terms of editing and layout, and very sharp lady. So we're excited to have her as the editor in chief. We've got a gentleman named Kevin Koenig, who has done a lot of writing for a lot of the yachting magazines, Power Motor Yacht Yachting, many of the different yachting publications. He's out of the Northeast, so he'll be an editor at large and will be a big part of what we're doing as a new face to Triton, but he's certainly written a lot about industry, and he'll sort of be at large, but will also help cover a lot of the Northeast, which didn't really exist like that before. Mm-hmm. We've got a lady, Zuzana Prochaska, who she heads up the International Boating Writers Association. Some of you may or may not know her name. And she's based out of California. So she's joining us as another editor at large that will help broaden our reach and broaden our topics and content and readership on the West Coast, California. And she's very plugged into that world, but also very plugged into just writing and media and publications. We are in conversations with a gal named Romina, who is based over in the Med right now and spends all the summers in the Med, extremely talented in writing and marketing and social media, and very plugged into the yachting world over in the Med. So we have that. And then we've got Dory Cox, who's kind of was the name that a lot of people knew, that she did a lot of the writing, and she was always out in the docks and walking the docks and sort of beating the streets at the shows and everything. So she'll also be with us. And another gentleman named Ed Ibera, who will be our sales director. And we're still rounding out the team. Gordon O'Connell has worked with us on the website and some of that, and he's going to help get that going. So we're still filling in a few voids and a few gaps, but we're looking to, and then a whole slew of freelance writers and contributors, and a lot of them have done Triton before, some hadn't done it before. So we're really in photographers. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like drinking through a fire hose, as the expression goes. So that's what's going on with us with the Triton right now. So
it sounds like in some ways it's also trying to broaden the reach. You know, when you were talking about California and the Northwest, the Northeast, yeah. You know, a lot of the news we hear really comes ostensibly from Florida. That's like the bulk of it. Now, granted, Florida is, of course, a major, major hub, but you know, there's still, particularly in the boating and marine industry in the States, it's huge. And I think it's a great idea, Northeast. Because I don't think that side really hits mainstream yachting news. And, you know, we filter through a lot of the different medias each week to see what's coming up around the world. And right. Definitely see the quieter places, not because stuff isn't going on. It just doesn't have the same connection into the media.
Right. Right. I mean, there's no question that South Florida is the sort of hub, and as it relates to Triton, you know, that's where a lot of things and a lot of content comes out of. But yeah, I mean, obviously it's an international industry and a big world and a lot of water. So to have some West Coast, and actually after spending some time with Zuzana, you know, you realize there's a lot of interesting things going on over there. A lot of crew related things, a lot of things yacht crews aren't aware of because they don't go over there that often. And when they do, there's a lot of sort of head scratching. Like, oh gosh, I don't have a lot of contacts over on the West Coast. I don't know where we should go. We're not sure what to do and how it all works. So we just want to kind of cover, broaden the region. From a distribution point of view, you know, we'll distribute the physical Triton around the continental, you know, the U.S. and Caribbean.
What
I don't know that we'll
upside,
I don't know if we'll distribute in the Med yet or not.
Yeah, I was going to ask, because traditionally the Triton has been very Florida focused, in or America, but in particular Florida area. Have you any designs on the European side of bringing more news and articles, or maybe bringing the name Triton more into Europe?
You know, we have talked about that. We're kind of going to crawl before we walk. Mm-hmm. Right now, we need to kind of get the Triton back up and running. Frankly, it hasn't been published in almost a year.
Yeah.
Right?
Since the boat show last year.
Yeah. And so while our eyes are very big and our view is very big on a lot of opportunity, we're also going to be pragmatic in how we do this. We want to do well. So we want to first make sure we get the right team make sure we get the right content, make sure we come back out with a, with an issue and that people really enjoy, that they want to read, that's fun to read, that they go to for their source of news. There's a lot of overlap in industry interface with Kitty's organization, with USSA. And so we want to first just come back the right way and do it the right way. And as that evolves, we'll certainly look at expanding how that works. We'd like to get back to 12 issues or 10 issues or 8 issues, but we're just trying to be practical, I guess. And we just, like I say, we just want to make sure people read it and they go, wow, you know, this was in for a refit and it's kind of new and improved and it's fun and we love reading it. The events that we have, that Triton has done in the past, are really important too. These networking events and expo that Triton did and a lot of those things. And so as we get our feet on the ground with those things, then to the degree it's scalable and we go, okay, now we can sort of hop across the pond and now we're comfortable with what's going on. And now we can sort of take that on the road or interface with some of the events or publications or organizations over there. So I don't know. That was a long-winded.
The thing that's so, that the Triton has always kind of, in my mind, kind of been a family. And what they've created was this more family atmosphere, and that, you know, because that, unlike other publications, that the combination of print magazine type format and then the tie to the networking events really did create that kind of relationship, which is really unusual in publication world. So I think that with between like you and Kevin and your vision on keeping that same kind of baseline really is going to kind of continue to set the paper apart and then creating the fun. I mean, at the end of the day, people are looking to, that I see, I mean, they want to find out what's going on, but they also want to have fun with stuff.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that, you know, pulling in that fun atmosphere will definitely be a really good tie as well.
Yeah. I mean, we've got lots of things we want to do with this. I mean, we may bring back, or not bring back, but introduce kind of even that kind of Dear Abby column, you know, dear yacht crew. My boss keeps hitting on me. What do I do?
They're fun though. I mean, and I tell you, as a kid growing up, I never missed a day without reading Dear Abby.
Ask for promotion.
You know, we want to do things like that, that people, you know, enjoy. And we want to keep stories, you know, tight and condensed. We don't want to get stories too terribly long. So part of it is news. Part of it will be certainly technical things that people should know, but, you know, well done and well written and keep people engaged. Part of it will just be fun. Part of it will be geared to seasoned people. Part of it will be geared to people who are new in the industry.
So making it much more rounded.
I mean, that's what we want to do. Yeah. We have two readers. Kevin and I, we know we'll read it. Hopefully the three of you will read it.
Oh, I'll definitely count me in. You got three. Kitty's got her hand up.
Yep, I'm in.
I mean, you've really fulfilled your subscription request for this month.
Boy, we're kicking it now. I don't know. Everybody that's listening now is going to be, or over the next 4 days, is going to be saying, yes, sign me up. Sign me up. I'll read. Now, let me ask you, you're going to be physically printing at least 6 for the first year. Right. Will you be also posting those, like, on Flipbook style online, so that you're in a place where you're not going to be able to physically get your hands on a physical copy, you can still read it and still look through it like you would any other.
No, 100%. And you know, we want to obviously do it right. So the advertisers that come in, and a lot of the ones who've been there for all the years, have already indicated they would come back. I mean, obviously it's important that sort of helps pay the bills. Right. So we want
to ties back to that profitable business model, which I know Dave and Maeve know about too, right?
Will you have your own TikTok channel?
you know, I was in unrelated to this. I'm involved in our tourism bureau in Palm Beach County. I'm up in Palm Beach and have been for years and years. And there was a presentation at our meeting yesterday, which is all the hotels, the bed taxes here that pay all the hotel taxes that promote tourism. And there was a presentation. They were talking about the impact TikTok actually has. I am not on it currently, but this gentleman gave a story of, I'm not entirely sure how TikTok works, but they put out one minute video on TikTok about our Palm Beach County, and actually Peanut Island, which is a place here where all the boaters go to hang out. It's beautiful island right off the inlet. It's where everybody goes on the weekend and anchors and plays. And they posted a video on TikTok and had in 48 hours had 1.6 million views.
Yeah.
Like, so the answer to your question is, as soon as I figure out TikTok, yes.
Well, I think this is the interesting kind of question because, you know, your focus is captains and crew. And even if you broaden that to marine industry, but the demographic of age in that is really big. You know, you've got from early 20s right the way up, you know, and captains are now becoming captains by late 20s and early 30s, all the way up to, you know, early 60s, which is very widespread, even though there's a commonality between all of them. There definitely is a widespread of views and how they use that or how they want to get that information.
And also you got the cultural mix in there as well. They're not all American. They're English, they're German, they're Swiss, they're Swedish.
South African, Australian.
Absolutely.
Irish.
So, yeah, I mean, we've really said the real core target market of readers is probably 25 to 45, really. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't go outside that up to the 60, like people like us.
So you're pointing
but if you really
Hey, not there yet.
No, but I mean,
we've lost our connection to Jim, I think.
Yeah, gee, he's a little scratchy over here.
No, but the real...
We're not even on the demographics anymore. Doggone it.
Yeah, no. It's the bell curve. So if you take the bell curve, to your point, I mean, it's very valid. It really is, which is why, you know, I mean, the whole world, right, is aware of this. So that's why way we deal with digital, the way we deal with social media, the attention span, the length of articles, we're really being very focused on that.
Well, people aren't reading three things like TikTok. Features. Nobody has an attention span past like 30 seconds.
Right, right. So we really are very, very conscious of that and the types of stories. And you're right. And there's every nationality is on a yacht. You know, they come with different political views and everything else. And so we're really aware of that, which is kind of why it's a good time to, you know, just give Triton that new refit and kind of recognizing all those things. So,
well, you've always been a trailblazer in your life. I mean, you've kind of always been the tip of the spear in going to Costa Rica and in selling Rybovich and you know, doing some of these other things. I mean, this is kind of a natural in that regard. I mean, just from the years that I've known you.
I mean, I've probably been ahead of the curve, but maybe that hasn't always worked. I mean, I would have loved to have sold Rybovich for $340 million.
Yeah, well.
I probably wouldn't be doing the Triton, honestly.
Probably not.
But no, I mean, we have. Yeah, I mean, you know, Rybovich, we sort of took to a level and then sort of saw the vision and let Huizinga's execute it. In Costa Rica, we were really the first real marina other than Los Sueños to be built and pushed very hard for creating an industry in Costa Rica. And now it's a very vibrant industry in Costa Rica for marinas and fishing in the marina.
And now charter. Now they're getting ready to launch the new charter law that they just signed, the president signed this year.
Yeah, so there've been a lot of changes there. Our boatyard in Alabama, we built from scratch from 12 acres in the woods. And now that's the primary.
And people never think that for everybody who's listening, if you don't know where Alabama is, it's on the Gulf of Mexico. It's just between Mississippi and Florida, right?
Right. We are, if you take the panhandle of Florida, the
and go just past it. It's right there.
Just out. The biggest problem we've got is we're just outside Florida, so we can't say we're part of Florida.
Yeah. And you say Alabama, people say, where the heck is Alabama? But having said that,
I know they think Midwest somewhere. You forget exactly about that massive.
But having said that, Alabama, that whole area in the Gulf Coast is world renowned for fishing and for tremendous sport fishing, whether it's billfish. Some of the biggest billfish tournaments happen in that area, and also things like redfish, kingfish, all in that area. So sport fishing is a huge business up in that general area. So
I only know where Alabama is from Donald Trump's weather map.
You know what? You know what? Oddly enough, that in a weird way put Alabama a lot more on the map than it ever was. Yeah. Well, and the other thing that put puts Alabama on the map are goofy things. If you had the BP oil spill from many years ago, the big oil spill that was international story, that whole disaster. I mean, that really, really impacted Alabama. That impacted our boatyard. We were physically shut down for a while because you couldn't get in there. I mean, the oil, and it was a horrible time. It ended up being a blessing in disguise long term, but it sort of helped put Alabama on the map too.
How did it turn out to be a blessing?
Well, it injected billions of dollars to that region, billions, and ultimately, mm-hmm. nobody. Well, I should say it cautiously. Nobody would ever wish that again. It's the wrong of way course. For the things to have happened that happened, but the end result. But
sometimes good comes of it.
The end result was billions of dollars of investment, tourism attention, a lot of attention to the Gulf Coast that was never given to it before. The realization, what Kitty was saying, that there is tremendous just assets there and the Gulf waters and the fishing and the boating and things outside the marine industry. That whole Gulf region is really an interesting area within the country that was unknown to a lot of people. And then, of course, when Trump decided to have his rallies there, then that helped it.
Right? Yep.
Now we're also, the Caribbean's an important part of the Triton too, I might add.
Yes.
That we've got a couple marinas down there. We just taken one over in St. Lucia. So we're using our marinas not in any selfish way at all,
not.
Some people have asked,
but it's convenient. I mean, you're already there. So,
well, we're using it as a vehicle to be able to stay even more in touch with the region. So we have a marina now. We just took over in St. Lucia. By default, it gives us opportunity to be more immersed into the Caribbean anyway. So now we can sort of find out more about what's going on in the overall region, if that makes sense.
It's a lot cheaper.
Be a pen pal.
Just get a pen pal. It's a lot cheaper. I mean, you can open an arena, but
no. But that makes a lot of sense, and to be able to get your ear to the ground and get like on the ground connections to your readers, in your facilities that you're talking to on a daily basis. It's a much more consistent way of seeing trends and seeing what's new, what's happening. Both good and bad. I mean, so you can kind of stay up on top of those types of things as they're working. So
the other thing it gives us is an added vehicle to distribute the Triton physically. So as we've quickly learned, just physical distribution is its own sort of challenge and
be very costly.
So to distribute over in the Med was very, very costly. So you have to, the physical copies, not the digital, obviously, but physically to go ship a bunch over and go find all the key marinas and yacht facilities. It became very, very costly for a very low reach. But now, if we've got at least some Caribbean places, we can hand them off and tell our marina manager,
it's already on the clock. So it's not hiring a new person.
These, right. You're already being paid by us. So go.
It's in your job description now.
Need to set up a few marinas in Europe.
Well,
okay.
We're open to that.
or get a pen pal.
If anybody's listening that needs a marina managed in the Med somewhere, and this way we can distribute over there easily, let us know.
We actually, I think I mentioned we're on a call Monday. It's supposed to be today. A group in southern Russia building big marina. A few weeks ago with a group
on the Black Sea.
We're waiting to hear back in Saudi Arabia, building huge marina industry, really, in Saudi Arabia. They want to build an entire industry. 20-some marinas, yards.
There's no money there
at all. Between the royal family, they already have a huge industry over there.
Well, yeah, they want to build a new industry, yachting. So we're.
What a concept. Who would ever thunk it? It actually is a good business model.
Stop the press. Actually,
stop the presses.
Well,
where will it be published? Will it be printed here in South Florida or?
We are getting printer quotes currently. We're kind of taking a hard look at everything. It was printed previously in Tampa. We've got a few other options for printing. We're going to physically change the like I said at the beginning, it's been kind of this awkward tabloid size before, and it's going to change. So, you know, it looked like that.
Right.
That was the last issue.
That was the old issue.
That was a tabloid size.
For those of you that are listening, the print used to be published in a tabloid size.
It used to look kind of, it was half newspaper, half magazine.
Right.
So we're going to be a little more magazine with news, just some physical sort of internal.
Refit.
We're going to refit. Exactly.
We're going to refit.
But one of the things that Triton did a great job of, I loved it just from the other side of the fence, and I think everybody did. They always came, and our intention is to fully continue to do it. During the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show, they would always come out with the Triton Daily. So it was the only thing that was distributed every day, which gave a little 4-page hard copy. It'll be digital too, but just given to all the crews and yacht captains of the news of the prior day of what was going on, such and such yacht crew events or awards or big boat deals, whatever sort of happened at the boat show. It was truly the newspaper of the boat show at Fort Lauderdale every day. So we're fully committed to doing that again. And that's kind of, I always love
getting. So you'll be down the 2 o'clock shift, 2 a.m. shift, Jim?
Yes. So we're trying to find a more efficient way to do it. What we learned is they would all scour the show all day and get all the news and all the stories and then go back and curl up in the office till God knows what time, write everything, get it ready, and then sit there on a copier and a stapler. I mean, I think we can do it old school. A little more efficient. But
might be able to tweak that process a little.
But hey, Kitty, we're looking for volunteers to come help us at 2 a.m.
I think there'll probably be some listeners on the show that would love to go do that.
That'd be fun. Our name technically has changed from the Triton to Triton News Network. TNN.
Sounds very CNN-y.
Yes, it does.
Wow.
So we are officially incorporated as Triton News Network, but the word network is really about the networking that takes place.
Is this competing with CNN?
So we're playing off the words a little bit. So Triton News Network is really what we're relaunching.
So now the website address will stay the same as the-triton
everything behind the scenes will forward on. If people still use those names, they'll still exist, but it will be TritonNews.com.
TritonNews.com, or you can find it right now at the-triton.com as well.
Right. Now, today, as we speak, I don't know when this goes up. I don't know how this works.
It's live right now. We are live.
Well, you're not going to see anything except it's what's been static for your. I appreciate doing this. We're a little ahead of the game just because we have.
We'll do it again.
Swept up. So Gordon O'Connell, who's maintained a lot of the website in the past, he is, as we speak, doing a new splash page that just simply is saying Triton is undergoing a refit and check back shortly. So we need a little time to
get
all those things back up. So,
well, yeah, because otherwise it just, you look at it and it's like, it's stuff that hasn't changed and it, you know, that, that is definitely not how you guys want to present. So I appreciate that you allowed us to get on here and do a quick surprise and let everybody know that what's happening. We got the scoop right here, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So now what, with regards to, I mean, we have a few minutes left in the show with regards to industry trends. I mean, we were chatting about how you've always been kind of at the front of new trends. You've kind of always been ahead of the game on things. What do you see now? I mean, in anything that's really hitting your eye of where things are going or trending in terms of other, whether it's marinas or boat shows or events or.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure whoever's listening to this feels this, a lot of the trends that have taken place, but certainly in the marina world, I mean, there's a huge in the U.S. more than anywhere, but I suspect that will continue to creep into other countries pretty shortly. There's an incredible amount of consolidation going on. A lot of large private equity firms buying up marinas, not just Safe Harbor. There are, so because of what we do and also do some advisory and consulting things, there is not, literally not a week that goes by, in some cases not a day that goes by, but let's say not a week that goes by where I don't get at least a few calls from different private equity groups or other groups looking to acquire marinas. And there are marinas being pursued everywhere. So if you have a marina anywhere, certainly in the States, and it's a reasonable marina, maybe not even a reasonable marina, and if you want to sell it, or even if you don't want to sell it, there are literally probably 20, 25 fully capable, fully funded, very wealthy private equity groups standing there with a check trying to acquire your marina. It's wild. Like I said, I might have held on to Rybovich a little longer if I knew that was going to happen.
Check on it.
So it's interesting though. It's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, it's a whole topic about that, but
that's a whole other show. We'll have
a whole other show, but there, I mean, there's a lot of that going on. It's Safe Harbor sort of leading the parade, but there's a lot of other groups doing it. And it's interesting. We were involved with another, we have a private equity group that we do work with and doing the same thing. And we are involved with another larger marina management group doing the same thing on a bigger scale. So kind of exposed to it quite a bit. So that, I mean, that's happening a lot on the boat yard side. There isn't quite as much of it. It's interesting on the boat yard refit, side. Seems to be a little more tenuous to people. It's harder business for people to get their arms around, even though it's just as good of a business. So coming out of the boatyard world, you know, I still have a great affection toward that. But it's interesting because you talk to all these people and they want to buy a marina, even if they don't understand the marina. But you say, well, what about these boatyards? And then all of a sudden they're like, well, I don't know. I don't know if that's for me.
The marinas are simple.
Well, there's a lot more to it. And it's a lot more. I mean, if you don't know marine, if you don't know shipyards or boatyards, it's a very steep learning curve.
It's daunting
in that world. But a marina is a lot fewer components involved and a lot easier in terms of, it's still very complicated and you can still get in a world of hurt if you don't know what you're doing. But
well, people understand car parks. No, I understand a car park and marinas, same thing.
Right. That's, yeah. Right.
But a ship,
it's like a garage.
They've got big cranes. There's lots of stuff going there. There's union, you know, it's a more complex.
But it is, can I say, an interesting part of the industry, because certainly, you know, we've seen a huge rise in the refit market in the past decade. And I can only presume it's a part of the industry that will keep continuing to grow hugely as we get more boats. And, you know, with that, they will need refits.
And they break. So then you have place to be fixed.
So I mean, I have always, my old soapbox was always that people decide to stay in boating or get out of boating at any level based on their boatyard experience. Mm-hmm. And that's what keeps you in it or gets you out of it. If it goes well, things get fixed and you can use your boat when you want, things are on time. And, you know, then you go, okay, I enjoy this. If things go south or it's never ready when you want it, even a small boat that's not ready on the weekend for your one weekend, take out your family, or a big yacht that's on its way to a charter. The service experience is what keeps you in or out of boating.
It's not easy.
We'll probably write about that.
It would be a good article.
We'll talk about Super Yacht Radio, no doubt. But there's like, so you heard it here first on Super Yacht Radio on the USSA Friday update, that you'll sometimes hear on Saturday, Sunday, or Monday or Tuesday. but we're so happy to have Jim Bronstein, the half of the Jim and Kevin Quirk team that have just acquired the Triton News Network and have rebranded as the Triton News Network. And we're so happy to have you guys on board, and we look forward to lots of great things happening in the future.
Thank you. And if anybody wants to take out an ad, feel free to.
we'll be chatting with you guys about that.
We'll be making that ad part of our package to you.
Wonderful. Well, congratulations, Jim. Thank you so much for joining us today.
And pleasure to meet
you. Wherever you are in the world, stay well, stay safe, and thank you for tuning in.
Thank you.
This is Super Yacht Radio.